Lord, we just thank you for another wonderful evening with each other and you, Lord. We ask for your guidance tonight, Lord. We thank you for an open heaven, Father, that you've given us. And I thank you, Lord, for the work that you're doing in each and every one of us, Lord. Showing us those things that need to be taken away and allowing you to cleanse us. We praise you for that, Father. I thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be an exceptional night. That revelations will come forth, Father, for you through us. And I thank you, Lord, that prayers will be answered. And Lord, we just ask for your leading and your guidance tonight and everything that we do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Okay. Anybody got a prayer request? Oh, praise God. All right, Geneva.
Okay. Hey, everybody. So I just want to thank the Lord, also pray to the Lord. So me and Morgan today, we applied for a house, a bigger house, for right around what we pay now, but like double the size of what we live in. Praise the Lord. But, you know, we don't know if we got it or not yet. And here in Florida, which I know it's just kind of everywhere right now, but rentals are just crazy expensive. And I think it's because a lot of people are trying to move here. And anyways, it's just really hard to find. So we said that prayer that, you know, God would bless us to find something soon. And we, this place hadn't even been listed yet. I just happened to call a lady and left my name and number, just Googled it. And then next thing I know, she left me a voicemail saying that she had something for a crazy amount of money. And I was like, well, that's not going to work. So I called her anyways and just kind of let her know what I needed. And she was like, well, I actually do have this coming available. So it was kind of perfect because it hasn't been listed yet. So like nobody knows about it because here lately, like places I've been calling, it's like, by the time I get to them, which is usually like day one, it's like 20 people have already applied. So anyways, I feel like this was kind of the Lord, you know, that has, you know, made this path. So, but I don't want to get too ahead of the game, and I don't want to get too, you know, let my excited, me being excited or whatever, kind of take over, because I want it to be the Lord's will, because it isn't in a town that's pretty busy. And, you know, it's definitely much closer to people beside us than what we live now. So I don't know, just some adjustments will have to be made or whatever. And anyways, I just want the best for a little baby girl. So anyways, I'm gonna say a prayer and you all just believe with me. Dear Jesus, thank you, Lord, for everything that you've been doing. God, thank you for the dreams you've been giving me, and just Lord, increasing my faith. And Father, I thank you, Lord, that I'm excited for what you are going to do and what's in the future. And Lord, I'm not fearful because I trust in you. And same for Morgan, Lord, and for our family. And Jesus, I just thank you, God, that if this is not meant to be, Lord, I ask that you block it and I ask that you stand in the way, Lord. And Father, don't let it work out. Don't let the application be approved or just let something get in the way and us not be able to get it, Lord. And Father, if it is meant of you, let it just be super smooth, easy process. And it just be a done deal. And God, I just pray, Lord, that you give me confirmation and you let me be at peace about it. And same for Morgan. Thank you, Father, be with my brothers and sisters, Lord, and just bless them all and bless them for being prayer warriors, God, and always being there every time that I need prayer. And I just thank you, God, for what you're doing for all of us and all the blessings that are to come. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We hook our faith up with Geneva, and Lord, we just thank you that your will be done in this particular circumstance, and we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. We want your best for Geneva and Morgan, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. Okay, Benita.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to give a praise report for Grandma. She is just doing great over in that nursing home. She's getting more and more energy in just the few days that she's been there and walking around with her walker around all the wheelchairs. She's the only bad thing is she's telling everybody her grandkids bamboozled her out of her house. And so she's going around telling the story and she got in an argument with a lady. So they had to separate them. Crazy dementia world over there. But she's getting stronger and doing pretty well. So praise the Lord for that.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Lord, we just bind that spirit of dementia on her. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. All right, Pat.
Hi, everyone. I got a my neighbor down the street. We basically hired him to, since I'm up here in the Poconos, I hired him to mow my lawn through the week. And he didn't come by this week. And yesterday, he sent me a text that he said he'd hurt his back. Said, hello, Pat, I'm really sorry about this, but it looks like I herniated one or two discs in my lumbar and cannot mow for at least a couple weeks, but could be longer. It might be good to get an idea for you to find another landscaper for the time being, possibly for the rest of the season, et cetera, et cetera. So I texted him back. I said, sorry to hear that, you know. I'm going to bring it up on in our meeting tonight and ask the Lord to heal your back. So his name is James. I haven't actually met him. I got his number from my neighbor. But anyway, it doesn't matter. I'd like everyone to agree with me and pray if you feel led to for James' back to be healed. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you have you bring these situations into our lives, bring these people to touch our lives, and they have problems just like we experience problems, Lord, and that you allow us to have, and that we can enter into a time of prayer and trust you in your word and find that you heal us through this process. So, Lord, I'm just asking for James, that you would heal these vertebrae in his back, that you would correct whatever the damage was that he suffered, the strain or whatever, and that you would, even tonight, remove the pain from his back and bring forth that healing in him. In the name of Jesus, I bind any kind of demonic oppression or any kind of a demon that would be motivating this, pushing this, bringing it on him. I bind you and I cast you down. I command that that back be healed in the name of Jesus. And by the stripes of Jesus, we were all healed at the cross. And I just claim that for James tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your healing for him. Would you open up his eyes to the gospel and draw him to you? And we thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for your mercy in our lives. We ask you to touch him in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we thank you for healing him and bringing him into the kingdom in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Go ahead, Julie.
And Father, we just thank you, Lord, for James and he's coming forth and just letting Pat know and give him a heads up. But Lord, your word promises that you will bless those who bless us. And this man needs to be working for Pat. He needs to be a blessing for Pat because Pat can't be there to do it himself or he would. So we're asking you, Lord, to look kindly upon James and do a quick work here, Father. And just thank you, Lord, for James being receptive to Pat when he has the opportunity to share about the prayers and how quickly you worked for him, Lord, because we're already claiming it by faith that we're, that Pat's going to be able to tell James that we all came together in prayer and agreement, and Pat's going to get a text message back tomorrow and just saying, hey, got your lawn mowed, and it's all done. So thank you, Lord, for providing our every need according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And you already do those things before we ask because you know the need. And we bless you and we bless James, Father, and we thank you. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. I believe we're going to do it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Sunil.
I put in the request in the chat.
Okay. Let's see. Said I need prayer. I'm starting a new job after a very, very long time. I need to acclimatize to working, and I need to be proficient at the job, which I haven't done in a long time. I need confidence and ability to face the clients too. Okay. Well, Father, we lift up Sunil. We thank you for this new job offer that's come up, a new job, I guess. We thank you, Father, for acclimating him to this working. And he'll just jump right in there, be right in tune with everything that needs to be done. And we thank you, Father, for leading him into proficiency at this job. And we thank you, Lord, for doing that. Just ask him, place it in his heart to pray for your leading all day long, Lord. We praise you for that. In Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, for giving him the confidence and the ability to be bold with the clients as well, to be nice, patient, and godlike. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, he is really going to shine in this job because you're going to shine him with Jesus' light. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead, Julie.
Father, I thank you so much for giving Sunil this job, and he's been patient seeking you for a job, and I know he's been praying and asking for this for a long time, and I pray you bless him, Lord, at this new job, that he's going to fit right in there. He's going to get acclimated real quickly. You're going to give him the wisdom he needs, the skills and the ability he needs, and you're going to give him the peace there as well in his heart and his mind. He knows you're right there with him, Father, and we thank you for all of these things. We thank you, Lord, that he's going to find somebody there at work that he's going to be able to bond with. And we bind up and cast down all fear of man, all worry, anxiety, stress, doubt, unbelief, anything the enemy is trying to put in his heart and in his mind, we cast it down in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for just giving Sunil the ability to rest in you, knowing this, like, God, you gave him this job. You're going to bless him to be able to do the work for this job. You open the door, Lord, and you blessed him with all these things. And we just, Father, we just praise you and thank you, Lord, that people are there going to see the love and the light of Christ in Sunil. Thank you, Lord. Continue to bless him. We look forward to the good report later this week, how his first week's been going. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for doing that for Sunil. All right.
Amen. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Amen. Anyone else? Yeah, Malcolm, go ahead, brother.
Yeah. Let me just pray also, Sunil. Lord, I just thank you for this opportunity for Sunil, and strengthen him for the battle and give him wisdom and acuity of mind, and thank you for filling him with your confidence, and through Christ you can do all things. I know the Bible's not saying that in that text specifically, but I mean, in this kind of situation he's talking about something specific. I don't want to qualify too much. Lord, I just thank you for dealing with it and helping, being with Sunil, and he has the mind of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. We're looking for the good report. Thank you, Father. Anybody else? Yeah, Pat.
So I just wanted to bring a praise report. This is kind of just something that I noticed, and maybe everybody else noticed it as well, but I'll just bring it up as kind of a reminder of what the Lord has done. I know a few weeks ago on the call here, we were praying, they were bringing back in these mandates, mask mandates and whatever. And I remember that we prayed against, I believe we prayed against Philadelphia, this mandate coming into Philadelphia. And then they instituted it on the 18th. And I can remember we were praying about that and specifically praying that God would raise up a resistance in the people and push back on this. And it was the 18th of this month, it was instituted, and I think it was the 22nd, they removed it. The city literally removed that. And I read it the next day that all the business people in the business community and, you know, shopkeepers and everybody basically rose up and resisted it. They did not accept it. It was just, and it didn't dawn on me at the time, but the Lord mightily answered that prayer. So I just wanted to bring it up as a praise report. I don't know if everybody else caught it or not, but it kind of reached national news there. That's when I caught it. You know, I don't remember where I heard it, but it was kind of interesting. But anyway, praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for answering prayer again. Thank you, Father. All right, Isaac.
Sorry, I hit the wrong button. Hey, yeah, I was just going to say, Pat, I heard that too. I was on my way, I think, on this first rotation for work, and I heard that. I don't even know how I heard it. Rental cars I get, they just leave the radio on or something. You know, I don't even listen, but I heard it somewhere, and where they brought it down in Philadelphia. And hey, I'm in Pennsylvania, right? So it's close to what we'll call home for now. Anyways, I was like, man, praise the Lord. Now, it's the first thing that crossed my mind. I was like, you know, Pat brought that up, and the whole body here prays for it. And I just thought it was answered prayer. So, hey, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. You can even change cities. Amen. All right. Anyone else?
Hi, this is Terry.
Hey, Terry.
Hey. I have a prayer request for my friends, Jim and Val. They are in the process of moving to a house. They haven't closed on it yet, but they're moving to Crestview, Florida, and they're just having a lot of problems with their move. And they both felt like they were coming down with something, and they've just been under a lot of stress. And so I just want to lift them up, Jim and Val. Should I go ahead and pray?
Yeah, you go ahead. We'll believe with you. And if the Lord leads us, we'll pray too.
Okay. Well, Lord, I just lift up Jim and Val to you. And I just pray, Lord God, that if there is any demonic forces coming against them, trying to bring them down and trying to really give them a hard time, I just come against that in Jesus' name, and I just bind that in the name of Jesus. And I command that their bodies are whole and that they are completely well in Jesus' name. No sore throat, no lying symptoms. I cast those down in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that you just continue to encourage them and give them peace and give them rest and remind them, Lord, that you have everything under control, that you love them and you have everything worked out. You know all their needs, and I know that you will provide for them. And I just thank you for that, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Well, we just hook our faith up with tears. We just believe it's so, Lord, that this spirit of infirmity try to come on in. Go right now in the name of Jesus. You don't have any right to be there. You go right now for both of them. And Father, we thank you for a good, smooth transition in this move. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Anybody else?
Amen.
I believe it. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Lord, we thank you. And we just glorify you before the fact because we know what's going to happen. Amen.
Amen. And I have just one more request that everybody would just put their faith with mine, that my eyes are completely healed and that I see 2020 and that this I know I have it. And I just want more people to agree with me that this is done and that it will manifest very soon in Jesus' name.
Amen. Well, when we get through praying, it's going to manifest 2,000 years ago because it's done. In Jesus' name, right now, we command her eyesight to be 20/20. We're not going to accept anything less. We command those eyes right now to line up with the Word of God. And she'll be able to read small print, big print. It makes no difference. And she'll be able to see every leaf on every tree outside. She'll be able to see everything that she needs to see. Very good. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Eyes be healed in Terry right now in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God.
Amen.
Amen. It's done.
Thank you, Father. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. I thank you, Lord. Glory to God. All right. Anyone else? Okay. All right. Let's see. We can. Has anybody got anything pressing that they need to talk about before we get into the Beatitudes again? Well, all right. See, I think we were, are we on Blessed Are the Pure in Heart, for they shall see God? Or did we go over that? I don't know if we went over that, did we? I think the last we did was, did we go with merciful? No, I don't think we went over that. I'm jumping way ahead here. Okay, we did that. Those who thirst after hunger and righteousness, then we went over that. So it must be Matthew 5 and 7, right? Somebody shake your head. Yeah, Julie. Thank you, Patrick.
I think that's where we were, was we were just briefly started on the merciful one. I'm not sure how, if we got it all covered or not, but I know we were talking about mercy.
All right.
But I'm not sure if we were, you know, got finished with it all.
Okay, what constitutes being merciful? Somebody define merciful for me. Oh, I could tell y'all been studying real hard. Yeah, busy.
We were talking about it before, and it's it's kind of some of the definitions. It's like similar to grace, giving someone something that they're not deserving of, or you know, or just not not being as hard on them as what you could, you know, be, you know, giving them slack, you could say, you know, which is grace, you know. Anyway, that's just my couple of okay. 2 cents on it.
All right, Jen. I don't see Ray. Oh, there's Ray. Okay, y'all.
When I think of merciful, I think of someone who has a compassionate and forgiving heart.
Amen. That's okay. Good. Yeah, kind of what I had on my mind. Being tender-hearted.
Yeah.
For other people.
Right.
Someone who wants to see everybody. Be happy, happy, happy. Somebody else. Anybody else got a definition of merciful? Tender-hearted is kind of one of the things that I saw a merciful be. Tender-hearted toward our fellow man. Yeah, Patrick.
Well, I was reading, defining it, and I already lost my place. And it's interesting that it comes from the word eleo, which obviously I have never heard of before. I know the word mercy, but it is to have pity or mercy on or to show mercy. But it's translated it's used, being translated in the word mercy, only used as the word mercy in all the places where it's translated. So it's kind of, you know, a clear-cut case, shall we say. It's having pity or showing pity upon others, you know, compassionate in word or deed or whatever. So it's I think the thing that I always saw in this verse was that the cause and effect relationship there, that if you have mercy towards others, you will obtain mercy from others. So it's, you know, if there's a cause and effect relationship, obviously the opposite of that is just as true, flip side of the coin. If you're not compassionate, if you're angry, if you're impatient, if you're abrupt, if you're forceful, if you're domineering or whatever, you're going to receive that back. You know, you're going to receive that reaction or whatever back to you. So I think it's not only mercy, but that's one of the aspects of it. But I think the thing, again, that I caught through the verse was the cause and effect relationship that's there as well. So I guess that's just what I was thinking.
I got something here. I think it's probably from a commentary. It says, but where do we imitate God more than in showing mercy? In nothing does God delight more than in exercise of mercy. To us guilty sinners, to us wretched, dying, and exposed to eternal woe, He has shown his mercy by giving his son to die for us, by expressing his willingness to pardon and save us, and by sending his spirit to renew and sanctify our hearts. Each day of our life, each hour, and each moment, we partake of his undeserved mercy. All the blessings we enjoy are proofs of his mercy. If we then show mercy to the poor, the wretched, the guilty, it shows that we're like God. We have his spirit and shall not lose our reward. And we have abundant opportunity to do it. Our world is full of guilt and woe, which we may help to relieve. And every day of our lives, we have opportunity by helping the poor and the wretched, and by forgiving those who injure us, to show that we are like God. Blessed are the merciful. I thought that was pretty deep. If we show as much mercy as God showed us, it'd be an awesome world, wouldn't it? All right, anybody else on Blessed Are the Merciful? For they shall obtain mercy. That's more of that sowing and reaping, right? You know, Father, I just ask and I pray, Father, that you forgive me for not being as merciful as I could be. And I ask, Father, that you lead, guide us, each and every one of us, Lord, into that realm of being merciful to everyone that needs it, Lord, to everyone that we see. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, George.
Yeah, thank you. Hit it when you said the sowing and reaping, that Jesus knows how corrupt and how weak that we truly are. And he knows that we need to spend that kind of capital of mercy, so that when we need to draw it, that we have something in the bank. And that's him encouraging us to maybe realize our own weakness, that we need to not, you know, it's like the Bible says, that who are we to think that we're something that we did not get good, you know, anything good that we had came from heaven. So why would we look on somebody else when we don't have anything within ourselves to talk about, really?
Amen. Thank you, George. Go ahead, Patrick.
The thought just came to me as I was thinking about that merciful, being merciful to someone. Well, let me step back. The thought came to me that people, anyone only comes to the Lord through their own volition in some form or another. Obviously, there's a lot of things that bind us and keep us, and fear enters in and forces us in many ways to go in an opposite direction from God. And there's many things that we can do for praying and binding and loosing, etc. But right down at its foundational substance, any individual, and obviously God has created this to be the way of salvation, it has to be through our own volition, our own desire, or our own motivation to receive from God. And I guess this, from one who is not merciful, say, trying to correct, trying to domineer, trying to force that change upon somebody, trying to influence or correct behavior, and I've seen it in the construction business through watching different styles of say other superintendents or leaders or project managers. Those that have to resort to yelling and screaming and send in nasty grams and getting in your face and yelling, you're gonna do this, or I'm gonna, that sort of thing. That type of force or external force never really wins over a person. It really causes a person to close up or to defend themselves and it really never changes the heart. It may through anger or common sense, meaning it's not logical that I should, react at my boss or something, because he's ultimately the guy that's paying my paycheck. And so even though I don't really want it, I'm going to obey what he's telling me to do, but I really behind his back, I think he's a jerk or whatever. Well, God doesn't want that type of influence or that type of compulsion to change people's hearts, because it really doesn't change hearts. It may influence the soul on the outside to conform, but it doesn't change hearts. And many times I think when we're able to show mercy, it's not necessarily a requirement because we agree with the condition or the situation that the person is in. But I think we see the necessity and the opportunity for God to influence that person's heart and to pull myself out of the reactionary mode and give what that person may not and probably does not deserve to receive, but to give that to say, remove myself from the equation and allow God to work at the heart level as opposed to the soul level, I guess. So I just kind of saw that connection there. It's probably more related to forgiveness, and I think mercy and forgiveness are all kind of really closely tied to each other. But anyway, that was kind of the thought that popped into my mind.
Okay, go ahead, Julie.
Well, something that was coming to me was a scripture in Luke about being merciful, and it's a parable of the Good Samaritan. Can I read that? Is that okay, Michael? Okay. In Luke 10, verse 25, behold, a certain lawyer stood up and made trial of him, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answered, saying, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and you shall live. But he, desiring to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus made answer and said, A certain man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, and both stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance, a certain priest was going down that way, and when he saw him, he passed on the other side. And in like manner, a Levite also, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he was moved with compassion, and came to him, bound up his wounds, pouring on them oil and wine. And he set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. On the morrow, he took out 2 shillings and gave them to the host and said, take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, I, when I come back again, I will repay thee. Which of these 3, thinkest thou, proved neighbor unto him that fell among the robbers? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. And Jesus said, go and do likewise. And when you think about that, that is, you know, just a complete, I mean, that's God. That's Jesus. That is God telling us how we're supposed to treat our fellow man. And, you know, to the merciful, those who, you know, who are merciful will receive mercy. And, you know, the in scripture 10:35, where it says, on the morrow, he took out 2 shillings and gave them to the host and said, take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come back, I will repay thee. You know, how can we outgive out? How can we outgive God? And what reward will he give to those who are merciful to those who, you know, complete strangers, those who don't deserve it? We don't deserve it, you know, but that's what Jesus, you know, was exemplatory to us, and what we didn't deserve, you know, the forgiveness, the mercy, the grace, the compassion he shows upon us. And anyhow, help us, Lord, to be merciful and not to turn the other way when we see somebody in need. Amen.
Amen. All right. Anyone else? Blessed are the merciful. They shall obtain mercy. Yeah, what? Yeah, Marilyn.
Well, I think about Proverbs chapter 3. I think it's verse 3. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them upon thy neck and write them upon thine heart. You'll have favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. And, well, isn't that what we want? You know, we want God's favor and his grace. And also, I find that, you know, mercy and truth are linked a lot in the scriptures. Also in Proverbs, it talks about mercy and truth will purge out iniquity. You know, it'll help, it'll kill the sin nature. And it's also mentioned together, mercy and truth, there in Psalms quite a bit. But I know that one verse also in Lamentations 3:22, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning, and great is thy faithfulness. You know, really meditate on that, that if it weren't for God's mercies, every one of us would be consumed. You know, he's so righteous, he's so holy, but he is yet so merciful to us. So that's all just some scriptures that I really like to think about, and to be a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. You know, if we just kind of meditate on what God did for us, what Jesus did for us, God the Father did for us, we should have a brand new outlook on our jobs as Christians, disciples. Lord, we just thank you for placing that in our hearts to be servants and merciful, and mostly merciful to everyone that comes in our path, Lord. Lord, I ask and I pray that any darkness of pride be taken out of all of our hearts, that there's nothing left but you, Lord. Garner the fruit of Jesus in our life. And we praise you for doing that, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for cleansing our hearts of all those dark corners. And we thank you for doing it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anyone else want to pray for this particular one? If not, we'll just move right on to the next one. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Well, happy are the pure in heart. Happy, happy, happy. What is the pure in heart? And I just tell you what comes to my mind is the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faith, faithfulness, meek, and self-control. Meekness and self-control. Can't even read my own writing. Yes, I can, in Jesus' name. Anyway, that's what comes to my mind. Go ahead, George.
I was just thinking that to the pure, all things are pure. And if we will look for the, and the Bible says that love believes. And I think if we will look at other people and believe the best that God has called them to, that we'll see God in them and we'll see God in the mirror when we see the calling and the exceedingly abundantly above all that we could think or ask, all of the flow of heaven that's available for our life, if we'll quit thinking about our limitations and think about the availability in the kingdom, that all things will become pure. We won't look at our blemishes and look at our imperfections, but we'll strive and we'll prepare ourselves as a pure bride, and we will become that pure bride. That's all I got.
Amen. Receive Christ in everybody. Anyone else? Yeah, Missy.
You know, that was the lines that I was thinking, George. You know, seeing, you know, our brothers and sisters, and even those that aren't our brothers and sisters, but the ones we're praying for, the end from the beginning, seeing them a perfected work in Christ. And that means you're going to see God. You're going to see God in them. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The pure in heart see God in our brothers and sisters. And like I said, those whom we're praying for and believing that will come in the kingdom. So, you know, it made me also think of Philippians 4, what things are lovely, what things are honorable, what things are righteous, or, you know, any virtue, any praise, whatever, all those, you know, which goes right along with what George said, the love chapter in 1 Corinthians 13, you know, seeing the best in everybody, you know, there's a lot of different ways of saying it, but, you know, believing, thinking the very best of someone. Because, you know, I mean, you know, it's like, gosh, it's like, Lord, rid us all of the negativity that the enemy would want to throw at us, the accusing, and even in our own carnal thinking, you know, it's just like, Lord, just renew our minds, you know, to just really see everything the way you see them, and have your mind, and gosh, wouldn't you be happy? Most certainly you would be happy, you know. Gosh, just be rid of all that. It's like, Lord, I want to be like that. I want to be like that. Lord, we all want to be like that, you know, just to be the optimal optimist. Which is seeing everything, the end from the beginning, seeing situations, seeing people, the end from the beginning, you know, and really the situations are for the point of bringing us into the image of Christ, you know. So even seeing a situation, the end from the beginning, believing the very best for a situation, you know. And so, yeah, that's cool. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Go ahead, Julie.
I was saying about the scriptures that were in Psalm 19. If I can read that starting in verse 7. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. And the ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, and sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. And I just, you know, just studying and meditating on who Jesus is, who he says that we are, letting the word change us as we submit to it, and obeying God in the trials, obeying the word in our trials, obeying and loving, you know, loving the Lord with all of your heart, and loving each other, and you know, just it's just coming, like, you know, this just, the scriptures is becoming more and more alive, that, you know, this is what God's plan is, all, you know, it's just to transform us, you know, into his image, and that's who he is. We can't do it. But it's the word that does it. The word cleanses us. He makes us pure, you know. It's by obedience to the word and loving God and loving the word and keeping it. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for helping us to see clearly. And, you know, in you, there is no darkness. There is nothing unclean. And that's what you're perfecting us to be, is just like you. And help us to keep your commandments, Lord, and obeying you in all things, and keeping us confessing the good report. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Judy. Go ahead, Benita.
Yeah, as I was reading that, I was thinking of the word pure, and I was thinking of the word undefiled, and just, you know, how like the Shulamite, just to be undefiled of women, like in Revelation 12, actually, is what I meant. So they were undefiled of women. And when you're undefiled, we've all come out of the leaven of the church and everything and coming into the position of the bride and the undefiled one. And we can see Christ, the true Christ, not the Christ of the apostate church. So we can see God because we have that purity. And even more so for the man child. So praise the Lord for bringing us out and drawing us together to understand him and his word better. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Ray.
Yeah, it takes me a second to unmute here. You know, I'm thinking of the fact that we are all made up of spirit, soul, and flesh, and in alignment with what Julie was saying, as well as Vanita. I'm thinking that the spirit is pure. And there's a purity, and the Lord, the God is pure, and the spirit is pure. But our soul, our flesh, our mind, our emotions, the aspect of us that could be considered our heart as well, needs to be cleansed. And that's the work that we're all, that's the journey we're on, to cleanse ourselves, to remove the dross, as we've been saying over the last few sessions, and to restore ourselves to the purity of the spirit. And I think as we attain that, or as we work towards that, that's the purity of heart that I see here in this passage, is that working and cleansing ourselves and not being defiled, as Vinita just said, and working towards restoration and the sanctification that comes along with the blessings of the Lord to help us on this journey to attain that. So that's what I wanted to share.
Amen. Thank you. That's a good one. All right, Greg.
All right, you take care of the hand, I'll take care of the unmuting. Whenever we go through these, I look at the, with the help of Strong's, I don't speak the language, I don't understand it, but what the Greek is saying in this, trying to ascertain what's going on here. And one observation was this: the prize in this verse is seeing God. And I had to ask myself, do I want to see God? Well, yes. But no, but yeah, but no. Because, and let me see if I can explain that. In reality, seeing God is a daunting, daunting, daunting thing. You know, Manoah, Samson's father, thought he saw God, well, the angel of the Lord, and he thought he was going to die. His wife said, well, we're not dead yet. But, he certainly had an encounter with the angel of the Lord. Moses said he wanted to see God, and God said, bit of a scary thing for you. So he hit him in the cleft of the rock behind his hand, and he saw the passing glory of God alone. And Moses had some amazing encounters. It's a really daunting thing for us to do on our own, because it would, you know, I should imagine, and most of the world are going to do this when the time comes, you know, we're going to crawl under rocks and ask the earth to hide them. However, and this is something that will never happen to any of us, save for the things that are like described in 1 John 1 verse 9. Sorry, let me go back to the, I looked at the word pure, and that basically means pure, clean. In heart, it talks about our feelings and our thoughts. And since the heart of man is desperately wicked and deceitful above all else, we're kind of like between a rock and a hard place with that department, except for things like 1 John 1 verse 9, where if we agree with God about our sin, our state, and sin is basically imperfection. We sometimes think of just things we've done wrong, which it is, but it's more than that. Then he cleanses us of all unrighteousness, which is a really good deal, just for agreeing. and then we can see God, which would be, I would have to think that would have to be the most, and this seeing is not a passing glance or a dot in the distance, would be the most, amazing experience of certainly, our existence or my existence. And the times that Scripture talks about where men have been in that presence, the words they use to describe it don't make a lot of sense to us because it's beyond our comprehension. This pure in heart thing is, we can't have it without the Lord. And this is God's, going with the previous one, this is God's mercy to us in that he found a way for us to have that mercy and still fulfilling justice. And he paid a terrible price for it. But that's love. Anyway, that's enough of me on that verse. So I'm starting to sound like a preacher there.
Amen. That, I'm sitting here thinking of some words that would go along with blessed are the merciful. And some words that would go along with it, that merciful are not critical. They're not judgmental. They're not religious. Just some words to throw out there. They show grace rather than judgment. They show love a lot of times, and I'll speak it for myself by keeping the mouth shut. Just some thoughts that I've had run across my mind while people were talking. All the negative things that we do in our life, if we allow God to take those things out of us, and it's all, let me just ask this question. How do we get that mercy, being merciful? It's all by faith, isn't it? We just ask God, Lord, give us that merciful heart. Yeah, receiving it and walking in it. Studying it from Jesus's aspect. Amen. Okay, anybody else got any thoughts on blessed are the merciful? This one here is a good one, because it made me realize what mercy is. By y'all's definitions and talks on it, and reading some of the commentaries. Yeah, go ahead, Ray and June. Ray June, that's what I'm going to say. Ray
June. I'm always one to look up the meaning of words with the Strong's and the various concordances and so forth. And
your audio is not very good, Ray.
Is it better now that I'm?
Oh, yes, much better.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I have to stand right in front of this thing.
I'm one to look up the meaning of words, as we all are, and I mentioned, I refer to something back that Pat just said a little bit ago, where, you know, you look up the meaning of the word mercy, and the definition is mercy, and you look up the word blessed, and the definition is blessed. And when I see those kind of references, I go back to the Hebrew and I look at what it means there. So mercy would be favor, unmerited favor. And that starts with the Lord giving us the sanctification and giving us Jesus, and his name Yeshua means salvation. And this is where, you know, the Lord bestows upon us the unmerited favor that he gives us. And in turn, he's asking us the same thing to those that we interact with. And that's where I see bestowing mercy upon others. And blessed is the root word in the Hebrew is to kneel, and to kneel to the Lord our Father and to praise him and give him and bless him. Blessed be the Lord. And that's how it starts. But there's also a bestowing of favor upon man from God, which is the blessing from God to man. But it starts with us kneeling and giving God the glory and honor that he deserves. And that's why we're in existence, right? To give him honor. So anyway, I just wanted to bring up the Hebrew side of the meaning of some of these words that to me give some of the depth that may be helpful when we look at the Greek words that mean in the Hebrew, or the Greek means this, you know, blessed or mercy. In fact, I wrote to a Greek friend of mine who is from Greece, and I asked him about the word blessed. And he wrote back to me and said that the Greek word has to do with giving honor to their gods. That's how that started. Just like I just said in the Hebrew, where it means to kneel and give honor to the Lord. That was it. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Jilly, would you share that entry you made? That's good. I like that. For the listeners out there that can't see it.
Oh, yeah. When Greg was talking, and when you're saying, you know, it's like the reward for being pure in heart is they shall see God. And I just immediately started saying, oh, yeah, no flesh shall be able to stand before the Lord. You know, and so what was coming to my mind as Greg was talking is that, you know, no flesh will be able to see God. Only our spirit will be able to see God. A clean, pure, and holy spirit will see him. And I'm like, wow, you know, and that's the Lord. That's Christ in us. You know, that's our that's the only part of us that's going to heaven, right? Christ in us. And as much as, you know, we manifest the life of Christ is how much we're going to see God. I think, I mean, we're all going to, there's no sin, there's no flesh, there's no nothing in heaven. So it's only going to be the pure in heart, the clean, you know, those who are saved and forgiven and righteous and holy. And that's God making us that. And then the other thing that was coming to my mind was in Isaiah, when he saw the Lord, and he said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And I'm like, yeah, you know, woe are we, you know, we would not be able to stand before him. And then I was thinking, I didn't put it in the chat, but what's just coming to me now too is, you know, in the book of Revelation, when John saw Jesus in all of his glory, you know, and he fell before him as if he was dead, because he couldn't stand in the presence of the Lord either. You know, so our flesh is not going to be able, no one's flesh is going to be able to look upon the Lord or even be in his presence. You know, so what a great gift we have of eternal life, and how big that is and all that means. Thank you, Jesus, for doing that for us and giving us that.
Amen. Yes. Amen. That should make us want to strive for that hundredfold fruit. Yeah, Michelle.
Yeah, hi. I'm kind of jumping in again here a little bit late, but just wanted to comment that I think in terms of the mercy, like the more that we see God's love, the depth of his love for us and the depth of our sin, you know, and the mercy that we live in that place of continually being, I don't know how to say it, like just keeping a fresh heart of all that we've been, a knowledge of our sins and all that we've been forgiven of. And the Spirit giving us revelation of the beauty of God and how much he poured out his love for us in Jesus. And just that, I always think of it as like a collision between my sin and the depths of that and God's love. But when those collide and we can learn to live and keep that fresh and, you know, constantly not only receiving for this the sin that's being washed day to day, but, you know, really, I think because it's so beautiful, it's so astounding, it's so like, it's so incredible. And there's not even words for the love of God for us. It's so easy then, like our hearts stay tender, and it's so, so easy to turn then and say, you know, I forgive you, I show you mercy, though you've hurt me. You know, like Jesus washing the feet of the disciple, he washed their feet. To me, that speaks of he was washing the hurt that they were going to bring on him by falling away in his hour of need, by turning their back, by betraying. They didn't commit a sin like Judas did. They, you know, he said Judas wasn't clean, but the disciples were clean. Their hearts were clean and pure in that they were just weak. There was weakness there. And he said, you know what, I'm going to wash your feet. I know what's coming. I know what you're going to do to me. And I love you. And I'm washing your feet and do as I, you know, a new commandment I give you, that you love others as I've loved you. And just wash, continually washing each other. I think it's different, you know, when you're thinking like brethren versus people that are outside of the church. But, you know, as you let each other down, as you hurt each other, as you fall so short, I've loved you when you were my enemies, and then just all of the sins that were forgiven, that we could then turn and just carry that love because we're experiencing it. We're living under the waterfall of it continually. And it just flows from our lives when we really embrace the depths of God's love and the depths of our sin. So those are just some thoughts that come up for me.
Amen. Thank you, Michelle. That was good. Go ahead, Isaac.
Okie dokie. So Julie was given that verse, no flesh but she God. And I was like, oh, that's really good. I'm going to write that down. So I got on my computer, which sits right here. And I was like, you know, I typed it in Google. I want to see what verse is. So I just write it down and always be able to refer to it. And yeah, I guess I typed in something, but what come up was Job 19:25. So I just read it real quick and I was like, well, that one's different. But man, it's really, really good. So check this out. So in Job 19:25. But as for me, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And at last he will stand up upon the earth. The word there for earth, I got a footnote here, is dust. And we know what we're made from, right? And then 26, and after my skin, even this body is destroyed, then without my flesh shall I see God. And I was like, man, that's really cool. And it goes on to say, whom I, even I, shall see on my side, and my eyes shall behold, and not as a stranger. My heart is consumed within me. So I was like, well, that really goes good with the whole pure in heart thing. They shall see God. So I was like, man, so cool. Just the turn of events.
Amen. Thank you, Isaac. This is a good subject. Kind of makes you reflect on where we are. Anyone else? Go ahead, Pat.
I was thinking of that verse that Julie brought up as well. It's kind of funny that I think we're all tracking on the same thing, because Ray basically said exactly what I wanted to say, but it was, I started with the verse that Julie brought up in Luke 10:27, when the guy answered the Lord about his question. And he said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul." And I looked at that in the new numeric version, and it says, "And he answered and said, thou shalt love the God, love the Lord thy God from thy whole heart." And with thy whole soul, and with thy whole strength, and with thy whole mind, and thy neighbors thyself. And I kind of keyed off of the distinction that I think the catch between soul and spirit, as Ray was saying, the spirit is pure. And so I always get trying to put these things together. Obviously, that's like truth is the combination of all of the Word of God put together. It's all got to mesh together, as David's taught us. And so that area has always been a little bit unclear to me. It's very clear, the spirit and the soul and the body, that's real clear. And the fact that God's word is the only thing powerful enough to divide the soul and the spirit and allow us to see that division, to be able to see, actually to be able to see the soul, is because God's word divides the spirit from the soul, and we're able to see the specific workings and the cause and effect relationships and etc. But I just thought it was significant in that verse that, and because I'm keying off, I'm back on Matthew 5:8, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." And so just looking at that, the verse that Julie gave us, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God from thy whole heart." And the Lord makes a distinction there that love comes from the heart, originates in the heart. Wherever that is, it's on the inside, deep down, and it is the motivator of all and the influencer of all of those other aspects of our being. The soul, which we've always, we've known as the mind, will, and the emotions. Sometimes you get caught in a trap thinking, well, that's a mind, a will, or an emotion. That's got to be in the soul. However, God is spirit, and he has mind, and he has a will, and he has emotions. So there is emotions, mind, and a will on the heart of the spirit, as I'm saying. So you can't get too picky about those distinctions. But God has a distinction. He places that distinction in the scripture for us to, I guess, to ponder, to think about, or whatever. But the interesting, and I had to kind of go back, because this blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And I had to go back to, again, that scripture that I have to say is probably one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible, and that set of scriptures in Ezekiel 36, where God is promising basically the new covenant relationship. Moreover, will I give you a new heart, and I'll put a new spirit within you. And there's some sort of a distinction there between the spirit and the heart. And I don't know if it's a distinction or a combination of the two or exactly what it is. But he also goes on to say, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a new heart and give you a heart of flesh. And in that process, I guess I would like to be clear from the Lord exactly what is that distinction within me, within us? Is there something that I need to see about the heart? Because it appears that you're doing something and giving us a new heart, a new inner, and you're putting also your spirit within us. So a new spirit is separated, or there's a distinction between that is the spirit and the heart there. So I don't know if I'm muddying the waters as I talk through it or what. I guess I've kind of resolved, or at least settled on a place that the heart, our heart, is that which comes from within us, is us, and is possibly a combination of soul and spirit. That is within us. That is our heart. I guess I'm not really sure about that. However, I know that God in his new covenant promised to take away an old stony heart and put a new heart, a heart of flesh in us, and also his spirit within us as well. So in that process, the wholeness of our heart and the purity of our heart, I think purity and wholeness or oneness is probably closely connected. And so again, I don't know if I'm muddying the waters or anything. I'm thinking myself through this process. But anyway, it just kind of triggers thinking in my mind as far as what God is doing within us. I think there is a purpose and end result, and that is this purity he is going to place within us. But I think, no, he has placed it within us. And this purification process that he's taking us through is for the purpose of revealing that wholeness of Christ in us. And I don't know if there's if it's something that we need to become aware of that has already taken place, or having become aware that it has already taken place, we God then transitions us into the manifestation of it and the reality of it being expressed. I'm not sure where I'm at in that process, except I am sure that I'm not sure. So anyway, I'm starting to babble now, so I'm going to quit.
Okay, what is the difference going into what Pat was talking about between the heart and the spirit? When he says, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. I don't know what I've been told, but I'm going to find out what y'all know. Go ahead, Michelle.
Yeah. I just love this. It just really gets me excited. Because in my own
sense, Michelle, we've lost you for whatever reason.
Okay. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Very good.
Okay. Let's hope it lasts. I was just saying. And I love this. It really gets me excited because what we're touching on again, it was really the salvation and my own abject failure that happened at the end of myself, you know, to know that God could give me a new heart, take out my stony heart, and continues to be my hope and where I put all my hope and faith as I, you know, walk with the Lord. But so I'm thinking, like, we have the spirit of disobedience, you know, Romans 6 at work in us. And when we're not saved, that leads to a heart of sin. So basically, selfish, unloving heart that thinks that things only bring death. And so that is connected to a mind that believes lies. So the lies lead to, which are sin, lead to, all sin is a lie, and it leads to death. And so that is that comes from the heart of the fallen man. So
Michelle, are you turning your head when you talk? Because it's coming in.
Yeah, I'm still
having
trouble.
It's, if you just straighten up with the microphone, I believe we can hear you, but you're going in and out.
Okay.
In and out.
I'll be happy to write it. I'll just write it in the comment. How's that?
Well, that'd be okay if that's what you'd rather do. Yeah, that'd
okay.
be
okay. Because that's frustrating when you can't hear.
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
Okay.
All right.
Great.
Thank you, Michelle. Okay, Julie.
I think your question was, what's the difference between the spirit and the heart, Michael? Is that how you worded that?
What he said in Ezekiel 36:26, which Pat quoted a while ago, he said, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you.
Okay. To me, I think what that means, when we get a new spirit, when he gives us a new spirit, that's the spirit of Christ. We have a born-again spirit. That's his spirit. That's Christ in us, his spirit. And I believe the new heart that he's going to give us, I think that's part, that is our, and maybe another word for our soul, recreation of our soul. Our soul is what our mind, our will, our emotions, our intellect, you know, it's like who we are. Our soul is like who we are inside. We're all different. We're all different. Our nature, our personality. I guess that's the word. You know, we're all different in our personality and how we think and how we reason and how we speak and how we feel and the emotions and all those things. I think that's the heart. And he's changing that stony old heart, which is very self-willed, self-centered, ego, pride, doesn't really care about anyone else but yourself kind of thing. You know, that old stony heart, which is really just, you know, it's hardened. You know, it's hardened by sin, it's hardened by the world, it's hardened by the abuse, it's hardened by, you know, all kinds of things. But he gives us a new heart. I think that's maybe another word for, you know, the recreation of our soul. That's just kind of how I think it might mean. Because he's recreating Christ in us. It's, you know, he's creating a new nature in us, his character. It's our soul, our mind, our will, our emotions. And so we start thinking as God thinks. We have the mind of Christ. We have the emotions of Christ. We have his nature. We won't, you know, like the Good Samaritan, we become more like somebody who's very compassionate and merciful and walking in love. And, you know, we're just, he's creating his likeness in us. That's my thought.
Okay. Anyone else? That's good. Thank you, Judy. Yeah, Pat.
So I got a picture. One of the foundational times when I was thinking about this process, and I got just a picture of us sitting before a computer screen, and. The picture is, I am sitting before my computer. I represent the spirit. My computer represents the soul, or the computer represents the body, shall we say, this case that it's this physical case here, and the wires that go over to a printer or a speaker or headphones or whatever it is, and it performs a certain action, and then the programs within that computer are the soul, and when I sit down in my spirit, that program on that computer functions the same way every time. Well, should function the same way every time. You push a button, it automatically is programmed to respond in a certain way. That program is in there. It's written. And of course, the analogy is that God wants this program has been tainted with sin, with the nature of sin and the influence of sin and the commission of sins all of our life. And that program is tainted and carrying many viruses, etc. And so when we're born again, God corrects a lot of the stuff that's in that bad program, but then he takes us through a process of de-virusing, you know, the programs, and removing the bad stuff and correcting that stuff. And that all happens within the soul. It happens within the soul. It also has to happen with our volition. That, you know, the whole aspect of our heart of our spirit or our desire, the guy sitting in front of the computer has got to say, wait a minute, that program is not correct. That's not working correctly. Because here in this word, here in the instruction manual, it says ABC, but this thing's coming up with DEF. That's not right. And there's got to be a my spirit and my inner spirit or my soul, my spirit, I've got to say, hey, Lord, we got to fix this. How do I correct this? And he gives me the word and I work it through the soul here and I make the correction. And then now, lo and behold, bingo, I can print out or I can listen in my headphones or I can remove the distortion or whatever it would be. So this picture was very clear to me of spirit, soul, and body in that picture of the computer. But the heart in that same application is, if you're standing on the outside and you're looking at me and this computer, you know, you're not seeing me, but you the internal functioning or thought processes or spiritual aspect of the inside there being the heart, it probably, I suspect, incorporates soul activity and spirit activity. Because as I'm sitting in front of my computer, I'm still having to converse in my spirit. I'm still having to converse with God. I'm still having to take in information from his word. And through that process, make these changes in the soul, in the computer. So I think there's a distinction and a clarity that God wants to give us because he's got a purpose in it. He wouldn't have put it in the scripture if it wasn't significant and important. One thing I've learned about the Lord, he thinks at the detail level. And he does it for a particular reason. And so anyway, I guess I quit rambling again, but that's kind of the picture that he gave me from the start.
Okay. Isaac, did you have something you'd like to share?
Yeah, I'll just say it real quick. Basically, like everybody's saying, and Julie, I think she pretty much was very thorough in how she explained it. But, you know, heart, I think in Greek is cardia, and in Hebrew is the word lev. Kind of really both mean the same thing. And then spirit is ruach in Hebrew. And in Greek, I don't have that one in front of me, but I think that one's psuche from what I remember anyways, and that's like breath. And I was just looking at this, you know, and I'm reading Ezekiel 11:19. Y'all might be... And I was looking at, and I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, right? And it just, you see, it says them, and it's a plural. And, you know, you think of your temple, you know, you have your spirit, soul, body, and you think about that. And, you know, I think that, you know, we're going to have, you know, we're the kingdom of God live with, you know, inside of us. And, you know, in our holy of holies, you know, per se. And I think that I'll put a new spirit within you. And that's the life of Christ. Because if you look at that word, ruach, it goes on to talk about breath and life. And I'll take that stony heart out of their flesh. And, you know, I think of that stony heart. And I think that a lot of graven images and idols were made. Well, that's going to be wrecked and taken out, and we'll give them a heart of flesh. And I see this plural, how these in this verse, it's plural, but then it's also singular. It's like they become as one. And, you know, you think about marriage here at the same time. You think, the two shall become one flesh. Okay, I probably butchered that. You've seen it, heard it in the Bible. And then what Jesus also said, what God has brought together, let no man asunder. And you think about marriage, the marriage feast and all that. And there's a lot of good stuff there. Certainly worth maybe looking into deeper, but that's probably maybe some something at surface level, but I really can't go much deeper than that. I need to really think about it. But just noting some things.
Amen. I've always heard that when the Bible speaks about the heart, it talks about the spirit. And I think they're one and the same. Spirit. And that's kind of all I want to say about that. And I think that's their old spirit. Upon your salvation, you get the Spirit of Christ in you. That's a new spirit. That's a new recreated spirit in you. And that next one, it says, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, which is what Julie was talking about, the soul, the flesh, the mind, will, and emotions. And I will get a stony heart out of your flesh, and I'll give you a heart of flesh, which is a pliable, changeable soul. And when the Holy Spirit comes in, that's the overcoming power that he gives us to help us do all of that. I'd like to see what Andrew thought about it.
I think there's an answer for you in Romans chapter 8.
Yep.
And just got to get there. It says here that in verse 9 it says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be that God's spirit dwelleth in you. But if any hath not Christ's spirit, he is none of his. So Christ gives you a life-giving spirit. And the Holy Spirit is introduced so that Christ-like spirit you have, the Holy Spirit gives you the ability to live that life of Christ in you. And it's even further explained here. And if Christ is in you, the body is indeed dead because of sin, but spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwelleth in you, who raised Jesus from the dead, shall make alive also your mortal bodies through his spirit that dwelleth in you. You see, this mortal bodies, some people in the other churches think it's after death, but no, this is your mortal body. This happens while you're still alive. It's your mortal body that is changed by the Spirit of God and gives you the ability to live that new life of Christ. We in ourselves, when we hear something from the Lord and get a revelation from the Lord, when we get an answer to prayer, we did not hear from man. We heard from the Lord himself that gave us this. You know, you were no longer conversing with a man when you got saved. You were conversing with the Lord himself. He was actually speaking with you when you got born again. And when you got filled with the Holy Spirit, he gave you that power to live that new life. I don't know why it is, but this used to happen together in the days of Christ, in the days of the apostles. The Holy Spirit was given with the Christ Spirit, but it doesn't happen that way now all the time. You get this new born-again Christ Spirit, but you don't get filled with the Holy Spirit to help you live that life. They're supposed to happen together. I don't know why they happen apart now. And of course, you still need to be refilled with the Holy Spirit because it gets used up and you have to be refilled. Like in Acts chapter 2, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and then the same people in Acts chapter 4 were refilled with the Holy Spirit. From what I remember of the teaching anyway, it's that the Holy Spirit never totally leaves you. It just needs refilling. And that's how you, you overcome. The Holy Spirit is omnipresent. It's gonna collate or live together with the Christ Spirit that's in you. The Christ Spirit is a new life within you. You had nothing to do with that other than Christ came and saved you and gave you up his spirit of life. You know, he's a life-giving spirit, the lockdown. And that's the only way I can describe it, is the Holy Spirit gives you the power to live that new life. You wouldn't have that power to live that new life unless the Lord gives it to you. And you get refilled by him to live that life. There is a study on it. I can't remember the video, but I do have it downloaded somewhere, and I do oftentimes listen to it. It's about a 30-minute video where David Hills is explaining this, and he actually uses these verses and coincides with the verses that are in Ezekiel that were mentioned. And these verses in Romans chapter 8. Anyway, I don't know if that puts any more clarity on it, but the Holy Spirit is needed to live the Christ life in you. He does it all. He's omnipresent. He's available everywhere. You can go. And it's the Spirit that comes forth out of the Father. I think it unifies it with us with his glory. That verse that we all like it in 2 Corinthians 3:18, the Spirit and the glory have to be collating because the Spirit is the words that I speak to you are spirit and life. So the glory that you get from God has to be intermixed with the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, because it's got knowledge in it, and knowledge is the Word, and it has to be the Spirit. You know, if you go back and, you know, there are contrary spirits where you're warned, beloved, believe not every spirit, but prove the spirits still. So you have to prove these spirits to see whether they're of God. And if it's a different confession coming out of the person's mouth, and it's not the Spirit of God, and it's 1 John 4:1-6. It speaks in the sixth verse there, it speaks of the spirit of error and the spirit of truth. And why some people don't hear us when we speak with them, because they don't have the Spirit of God to hear it. They don't have even the Spirit of Christ to hear this sometimes. And of course, even though you have the Spirit of Christ, you can still revert to your old nature that were given to you from your parents. Paul said about being separated from his mother's womb. And he spoke about that he no longer conversed with man, but with the Spirit of God, you know, in Galatia. And this is something where you're hearing from the Lord. Anyway, that's how I see it anyway. I hope it makes some clarity. Great God.
Yeah, that's good, Andrew. And it brought it out that the heart is the spirit. Okay, anyone else? Let's see what we got here from Michelle. She said, yes, that's the truth. I had to get it from my Lord and never heard it at church. It's all by his spirit before death, not after. Yep. We see it most clearly in Romans 6-8. This truth literally saved me. He changes us. It's so amazing. His power working in us. Absolutely. What is this you got, Pat?
I think that was the verses that Andrew was referring to about being refilled, I believe, wasn't it?
Looks at... Is that it, Andrew? Acts 4:29-30, or 31-31.
And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. Yeah, Is that what you were talking?
That's the refilled one, yeah. That would be it, yeah. And of course, the chapter 2 one is the Pentecost one.
Well, I don't know. Logically thinking, this is just me. Logically thinking, is it refilled or something else? Because the Holy Spirit doesn't come and go, does he? So what do we talk about when we say refill? Go, Pat.
I don't know, but I'm when you said that, I'm thinking. Well, we always start with the foundation.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking, I got the picture of the lamp and the oil. And I mean, you can burn that lamp and burn the oil out, so to speak. And it's, I guess, in the sense that you never really, it never really goes away, but you still have to fill it up and bring the capacity up. I guess I'm just kind of looking at that aspect of it, but I'm not sure that I've spent a lot of time thinking about that one. Good question.
Okay, y'all think about that. We're about out of time. And let's talk a little bit more. No, Thursday we got praise night. I'm going to throw this out there while I'm thinking about it. What if man in his work for the Lord gets worn down, not the spirit, but his, you know, his sense of being led by the spirit goes more toward the flesh at some point in time. And then, I don't know, and then is when it needs to be restored, possibly. We can think about it and talk about it next week if you want to. Oh, we can talk about it Thursday night. But we do have praise, I think, Thursday night, right? Yeah, I think so. Okay, boy, it's been a good one tonight. I enjoyed it. Father, I just thank you so much for your wonderful word and the revelations you give each individual in the things that you had for us tonight to talk about. And it seemed like one thing led to another and another thing led to another. We just opened up some new avenues for us to explore. And we praise you for that, Father. And Lord, I ask for your wisdom upon everybody here, that when they get in the word, that those revelations would come forth. And I thank you for it, Father. Lord, we thank you for a humble heart. We thank you, Lord, for placing in each one of us to be merciful as you were and are. And I praise you and I thank you for doing that for each and all of us. Lord, thank you for answering our prayers tonight. Be with us. Give us all a good night's sleep. Those who will be sleeping here shortly. And Lord, we just ask that tomorrow be a great, wonderful day in you, Lord, that we would all be in Christ tomorrow, doing what you would have us to do. And we thank you, Lord, that you're going to give Sunil the things that he needs to do whatever it is that they've got him doing. In Jesus' name, we thank you for a wonderful time at work. In the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. All right.